Hitler, according to a 14-year-old schoolboy, was a great personality in the Third Reich around 1935 to 1945. The boy said Hitler helped Germany back on its feet after World War II. He died in the years 1950 to 1956. Largely, said the 14-year-old boy in Germany, he was just an ordinary citizen. It's been less than 35 years since Adolf Hitler died, and it seems almost inconceivable to me, and maybe to you too, that any German girl or boy about the age of 14 could say that Hitler was just an ordinary citizen. Now, of course, this lad didn't mean to imply that ordinary Germans go around starting wars and annihilating 6 million Jews. His words are simply a testimony to how easily the lessons of history can be mistaught, or if history is too embarrassing, not taught at all. In fact, as we're going to see in this program, a widespread ignorance of Hitler on the one hand and fascination with him on the other hand has many people concerned both inside and outside Germany. But for the moment, let's go back to the words of this schoolboy, which was not an isolated incident. Matter of fact, that quote was taken from a book recently published in Germany called What Have I Heard About Hitler, written by a prominent educator named Dieter Bossmann. The book was the result of 3,000 essays which Bossmann obtained from school children on the subject of what they knew about Adolf Hitler. Nothing, unfortunately, wrote one 16-year-old girl, and that's what Bossmann found characterized the majority of the essays, unbelievable ignorance. Listen to what just a few of these students wrote. One said, and I quote, "He was the man who made order out of a disordered country." Another one said, "Well, first he sought to clear the unemployment lines from the streets. He built autobahns, factories, vacation homes, and Volkswagens because everybody was supposed to have a car of his own. He wanted a clean, peaceful nation," wrote still another, "free from crime. In those days, the police could shoot at fleeing criminals. You had a death penalty, which is something we should have again. You could walk alone at night without being afraid." And another in the same vein said, and I quote, "Hitler was strict with his people, and everybody had respect for him. The neighbors still wished sometimes that he was back again. He was great in the war, too. His soldiers were courageous and even laughed when they went to war." The educator who compiled the essays was so shocked that he says his first impression was that the students were joking. He then went on to strongly criticize German teachers for fostering what he called a pure catastrophe in education. West German President Walter Scheel expressed concern that history is, in his words, taught too little and too narrowly, resulting in a danger that young people will no longer perceive the meaning of a free state. From one of the major weeklies called Der Spiegel, the essence of the problem was captured when they said, "Young people face the danger of having to rely on information about Hitler on a generation still trying to whitewash its own role in the Nazi era. Meanwhile, side by side with such ignorance and seemingly having little effect on it, a Hitler boom is flourishing. In many circles inside Germany, Hitler is in. He's become a superstar in the sense that his name sells movies or books better than almost anybody's. In one recent year alone, 14 major books about the life and times of the Führer competed for attention of West German readers. Two of the books were serialized in leading West German news magazines, and for serious readers, there's a four-volume set of Hitler's speeches, and in two volumes, even the speeches of Goebbels." All of which, I suppose, could go down to serious history if readers were simply seeking to learn the lessons of history, and if the books were factual, and if they were objective accounts of Hitler's life and times. But unfortunately, riding the crest of this Hitlerian publishing boom are several ostensibly factual history books which endeavor to rehabilitate, sort of remake and shape the Führer in a different image. To give you one example, one such book first appeared in 1976 and began arguing that Europe in the 1930s was a decadent society, that Hitler performed a noble, much-needed service for the ailing continent by purging it of its moral decay. A different book, maybe not quite so anxious to rehabilitate Hitler, portrays him as a kind of a personable, a kindly, reasonable man who, for some unaccountable reason, opted to conquer Europe and massacre millions of people. Also, as might be expected, the Hitler wave has brought a spate of motion pictures. And as in the case of the books, several of these movies have been charged of being less than historical. In fact, the most controversial is called Hitler, A Career. Now, to be sure, the movie did at least show some glimpses of Hitler's more sinister deeds. The problem with the film, though, is that while it gives a sort of a visual lip service to the dark side of the Führer, it goes on to wallow at much greater length in the mass adulation of Hitler. The film takes pains to bring to the screen that electrifying spirit of the famous Nuremberg rallies, the torchlight parades, the elaborate marching choreography, an almost unbelievable effect of mass hypnotism or mesmerization. There are copious scenes of tear-stained women surging toward Hitler in what appears not as much a political gesture, so much as a religious and maybe even an erotic experience, much like teenage girls around a great American rock idol. What upset many viewers of the film who became critical was that it created the impression that the entire German nation was loyally and uncritically spellbound by Hitler, all the way from his rise to power amid a depression to the dismal end in the Berlin bunker. Omitted from the film was any mention of how, in order to force their policies on the German nation, the Nazis had to viciously stifle opposition and terrorize their subjects into submission. Also, critics point out, and rightly so, such productions are little more than distorted widescreen fixations on Adolf Hitler the man, historically bankrupt because they neglect coverage of the circumstances that surrounded his rise to power. Still, the paraphernalia of the Hitler craze, books, movies, and other accoutrements have recruited a wide audience from the ranks of German youth, teenagers, and people in their early 20s. And as we saw a few moments ago, this younger generation of Germans is, by virtue of a certain historical ignorance probably imposed upon them, in no position to critically evaluate the barrage of material washing in on the new Hitler wave, in no real position to sift fact from fallacy or to detect glaring omissions. So, in Germany, Hitler is back, and his movement is back, having returned not just in books and movies, but in reality.
Pioneer 10 races out of our solar system, while religious war rages in Northern Ireland. Politicians search for peace, while pollution engulfs our planet. The gross national product of the United States exceeds $1 trillion, while over 15,000 people starve to death worldwide each day. In this age of paradox unparalleled, where can you turn for understanding? There is a source that answers the frightening questions of the 20th century. It's called The Plain Truth. This magazine of understanding reveals the meaning behind today's world news and shows you the good news beyond. Today, more than ever before, you need The Plain Truth. For your free sample copy of the monthly Plain Truth magazine, call toll-free 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
If you'll pick up the telephone, the operators are waiting right now to take your call for this absolutely free magazine, The Plain Truth, that goes behind the conditions in world events and shows you what they mean. For more than 35 years, we've talked about a rearmed, revitalized Germany that will once again be at the head of 10 nations inside Central Europe. Articles about the ecology, the environment, the energy crisis, the imbalance in payments for the United States, balance of payments deficits, and what that means with trade war between the United States and Japan. Other problems of our own environment, our own nation. A really fast-moving magazine that dares to tell you the meaning of world events. It's yours free of charge if you will pick up the telephone and dial 800-423-4444 in California, Alaska, and Hawaii area, 213-577-5225. Well, is there any real substance to fears of a Nazi revival in Germany? Some Germans seem to think so. In a letter made public last August, former Chancellor Willy Brandt warned his successor, Helmut Schmidt, of a growth of neo-Nazism inside West Germany. Brandt, who was a former winner of the Nobel Peace Prize and the head of Germany's Social Democratic Party, said that he was receiving an increasing number of complaints from local party leaders that extreme right-wing groups were openly displaying Nazi insignia and meeting with the knowledge and approval of local authorities. Willy Brandt is merely the most famous of a growing number of Germans concerned about the spread of such extremism. Many German university students, in fact, fear a possible widespread rebirth of Nazism. German students are often accused for being overly sympathetic toward the left-wing terrorists that have generated so much alarm recently. But one reason many students sympathize with the left-wing is that they feel that terrorists are sounding an alarm against what they see as the very real potential of neo-Nazi revival. On the other hand, many Germans feel the greatest danger lies in the left-wing. Not only the violent terrorists, but the milieu of German higher education, which furnishes the terrorists with a surplus of moral and intellectual support. Since the student riots in Germany in the 1960s, German universities have maintained climates of opinion where extreme left-wing views are not only tolerated but encouraged. The irony is that if the danger is real, these students and left-wing terrorists may be helping to bring what they fear the most to pass. Many observers feel that terror in the streets like that of the 1920s could so offend the mass of law-abiding Germans that they might elect a strong right-wing government to restore what the Germans dearly love, order. This internal domestic attack of the German right against the left has prompted many foreign journalists to wonder if the bitter problem of terrorism has not frightened and angered many Germans into marauding through the country's liberal community in search of scapegoats. One Dutch journalist wrote, "Terrorism is not a purely German problem, but the way the Germans deal with it has caused concern throughout Western Europe. The officially cultivated hysteria," he went on, "surrounding the manhunt, that is for terrorists, such as bullhorns in the streets to incite citizens to turn each other in, can only escalate political violence in Western Europe." And former Prime Minister Willy Brandt says that West Germany must not allow a tiny minority of terrorists to cripple its democracy. "We don't need martial law," Brandt says, "since we're not at war nor involved in civil war." And even London's prestigious weekly, The Economist, voiced concern. It said to link the emergence of terrorism in Germany to the country's Nazi past is unreasonable. The Economist said, "Other countries without such a past have terrorists too. But where the Germans of all people have to be extra careful is in their response to terrorism. Elements of a witch hunt for supposed sympathizers have already emerged, worrying many German liberals. And anti-terrorist legislation passed in the last 5 years has already restricted individual liberties. The rules governing imprisonment on remand have been tightened. Trials can now be held in the absence of the defendant. Written communications between defendants and their lawyers can be monitored. And since the kidnapping of the industrialist Hans Martin Schleyer, defendants can be held incommunicado even to their lawyers for a month at a time. The national uneasiness over terrorism is most clearly evident in the tightened security precautions for Lufthansa Airlines. With Lufthansa obviously a favorite target of the terrorists, the airline has suffered drastically from canceled bookings. Even Lufthansa's air freight business is hurting. As a result, armed guards now run special security checks on Lufthansa passengers, not only inside Germany, but at airports all over Europe. In addition, Aviation Week magazine reported that the West German government asked the U.S. Coast Guard to patrol waters in the vicinity of airports in New York, Boston, and Philadelphia to guard against surface-to-air missile attacks against jet transports, a threat which terrorists have explicitly made. But getting away from conservative reactions to terrorism and back to blatant neo-Nazi activity, the West German Minister of Interior did feel compelled to issue a warning about the general philosophy of neo-Nazi organizations and of the fact that such groups are becoming more militant and more willing to use force to achieve their aims. The 15 or so neo-Nazi groups that exist, he said, want to replace the free democratic system in the Federal Republic of Germany by a state system similar to the National Socialist Dictatorship. Although the total membership of extreme right-wing groups appears to be dwindling, there's been an increase in neo-Nazi rallies, often held in beer halls to the tune of old marching songs. Swastikas are openly displayed, and World War II veterans swap stories about the good old days. So many swastikas, SS symbols, and Hitler speeches and records are now appearing in West Germany that one parliament member is calling for a crackdown on what he calls the distasteful traffic in Nazi nostalgia. Youth-oriented boutiques, which in other countries might stock posters for rock stars, in West Germany are filled with Hitler memorabilia, big posters that show Hitler and Goebbels and some of the other so-called stars of the Nazi era. And in the most distasteful of all revivals from the Nazi past, in the last 6 months, 2,000 Jewish graves have been vandalized in cemeteries all over Germany. To the rest of the world, is indeed to most Germans, such acts are repulsive, and it would be foolish, at least at this time, to exaggerate their significance. After all, in many ways, Germany is probably the most stable society in Europe. In recent elections, right-wing extremist groups have received less than 1% of the vote. West Germany's economy is also healthy, with a low rate of inflation and a big trade surplus. Experts note several underlying strengths of the German economy that bode well for the future, namely the high savings rate, Germany's heavy concentration in manufacturing, and the fact that most Germans feel that their basic needs are being filled. And yet, beneath the surface, millions of Germans still suffer the old fears. Fears of inflation, of unemployment, anarchy, and communism. And despite the fact that German prosperity is the envy of Europe and much of the world, it can still be said that Germany is a troubled society. One has to wonder, what will happen if the German economy should suddenly slump dramatically? Like all developed countries, Germany is suffering from the strange misgivings that come from prosperity. Sharp debates over national goals, what kind of a future it ought to seek and create. And as always, when problems grow complicated and divisions of opinion run throughout society, there are those who come forward with simplistic solutions, often dangerously so. Be it the left-wing anarchist whose only goal is destruction of the right-wing fanatic, who may say, as one recently did in Germany, Hitler was the greatest son of our 1,000-year history, the ideal of our people.
The mighty Roman Empire had everything. Plenty of leisure time. Their own new morality. Enormous military might. The religion of their choice. Political freedom. What went wrong? Read The Modern Romans, a 93-page lesson of history ignored. Call this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. The Modern Romans asks, can we afford the grandeur of Rome?
This free booklet is a very incisive look inside our declining Western civilizations. You owe it to yourself to read it. It's absolutely free of charge. If you dial a toll-free number, 800-423-4444, in California, Alaska, and Hawaii, area 213-577-5225. Well, the Swedish people see a Fourth Reich. The British are now talking about a dangerous shift to the right. Americans think they see a revival of Nazi practices, and the French are beginning to ask, can it happen again in Germany? Germans have not been able to shake the bad image left over from two world wars. They paid over $23.5 billion to Jews and other victims of Nazism. They created a stable democracy, but as Chancellor Helmut Schmidt put it, the better off we are, the more the world seems to remember Hitler and Auschwitz. And so, while most Germans seem to want simply to live their lives in harmony with their neighbors, it appears their neighbors aren't going to let them forget their past. Officials in Bonn are in fact becoming increasingly upset with what they feel are exaggerated fears in other West European nations over a neo-Nazi revival. The German government has gone so far as to announce plans to take a poll in eight Western countries, including the United States, to find out the true international image of their own country. For the moment, however, that image seems to be quite bad. London's Daily Telegraph writes, and I quote, "Once again, the image of the ugly German is spreading across European newspapers and television screens." A French newspaper says that in the European nations, the image of the ugly German has supplanted that of the ugly American of a few years ago. And from the opposite vantage point, a German editor reports that this summer was a hard time to be German if you were in Paris, he writes, and strolled along the Champs-Élysées to pick up your afternoon copy of Le Monde. You stumbled across various attacks on the brutality of German society, or, he went on, you could while away your time on a Danish beach and find yourself shocked in the evening by a TV news film portraying Bonn's liberal order with jarring pictures of sandbag barricades, barbed wire, and snarling police dogs. Or you can drive through Poland and Soviet Russia and get swamped with vitriolic comments about an alleged rebirth of Nazism in the Federal Republic. Whichever foreign mirror you would look into, this German editor concluded, it seemed only to reflect our image, the face of the ugly German. One event that probably did more than anything else to bring this ugly German caricature back into vogue was the escape of Herbert Kapler during World War II. Kapler was the SS chief in Rome. He escaped from a hospital in Italy not so long ago with the aid of his wife and probably others as well. The Italians, at least, are convinced that neo-Nazis are responsible for springing Kapler. And Le Monde, always with a wary eye on Germany, found it shocking that some West German newspapers today refer to Kapler as a so-called war criminal. The ability of Kapler's escape to touch many sensitive nerves illustrates that Germany's NATO allies seem to fear the Germans about as much as they do the Russians. A public opinion poll in Denmark, for example, showed that West Germans are as unpopular in that country as the Soviets. Britain, Holland, and France all are growing uneasy about German geopolitical power. In London, political leaders tend to be generally suspicious about how committed Germany is to parliamentary democracy, and at the same time, they are jealous of German economic power. The Dutch remain unforgiving from the war, and would you believe that France has gone so far as to mount nuclear weapons on missiles and deploy them along the border they share commonly with Germany? This, as a French defense official once put it, is to provide for all contingencies. In other words, the French have not ruled out the possibility that they might one day have to defend themselves again against another German attack. And that brings us to the bottom line, drawn from all these vague fears and worries about neo-Nazism, the ugly German, the wave of Hitler memorabilia inside West Germany today. What is Germany's military potential? One basic, unarguable fact is that Germany's 540,000 man army is the most powerful of any European member of NATO. That explains why not only the British, the French, Dutch, Belgians, Norwegians, and even many Germans consider it imperative that substantial U.S. power remain in Europe, and also the Russians, Poles, and Czechs as well. Many on both sides of the Iron Curtain fear that if American forces were withdrawn, the West Germans would move to fill the vacuum with potentially dangerous consequences. Of course, looking at it from the German perspective, they have some very good reasons for wanting a strong military machine. After all, they are the country which is going to be swamped first, the way they look at it, by Soviet troops in the event of another invasion. Meanwhile, many American political and intellectual luminaries have talked of withdrawing U.S. forces from Europe. In fact, as recently as 1973, there were resolutions introduced in the House to do just that. Without U.S. forces, the Germans would have the problem of defending themselves against almost 900,000 Warsaw Pact troops, odds overwhelmingly in favor of the communists, and odds which might well tempt the Warsaw Pact into making such an invasion. Even given the present NATO military configuration, which includes U.S. troops, some analysts feel Western forces are seriously outclassed. The disparity is great enough, these people feel, that if the Warsaw Pact should invade, the U.S. might have to choose between allowing a sizable portion of Europe to be overrun or utilizing nuclear weapons. The West Germans, of course, are acutely aware that both the invasion and any nuclear confrontation might be centered right on their own territory. Bond security fears were heightened recently by a secret national security memorandum leaked from the White House. The memorandum indicated that the Carter administration was considering making it U.S. policy to surrender a full third of German territory without a fight in the event of an invasion by Warsaw Pact forces. So, in the near future, although Germany may not want to again become a major military power, it may feel it has no choice. But while others have continually cut their contributions to NATO defenses, the Germans, being a little closer to the potential battle zone, have not. Should it feel compelled to do so, Germany is well capable of beefing up its military muscle. Without question, the armaments manufactured inside Germany measure up to the highest international standards, and the nation is in fact becoming a seller in the lucrative world arms market. Some of the weapons systems are so sophisticated that even in the United States, we want to buy some of their weapons. Already the U.S. has purchased the Franco-German anti-aircraft rocket, Roland II. At one time, the U.S. Army was considering making Germany's amazing Leopard its chief battle tank. Many have acclaimed the Leopard tank as the world's finest, and that goes along with German tradition, of course. It has an incredible aiming device that takes into consideration such factors as air pressure, side winds, and even the amount of wear and tear in the gun barrel. All the gunner has to do is right the target, judge the distance. But despite all the furor, both inside and outside West Germany over the nation's present military configuration, the really hot issue is the future. The crucial question about Germany's military future is being asked by key nations around the world. Will West Germany go nuclear? Will it add nuclear weapons to its arsenal? Inside Germany, the nuclear debate is currently focused on the neutron bomb. The neutron bomb is a controversial new weapon which, unlike other nuclear devices, creates a small blast and therefore does comparatively little damage to buildings and other structures. But while leaving buildings intact, it kills over a wide area through intensive neutron particle radiation, which is very short-lived. Thus, troops could then enter the blast area soon after without any ill effects. In the eyes of some Germans, the neutron seems well suited to contingencies that could well arise for Germany. Suppose, for example, that a Russian attack succeeded in capturing the eastern portion of Germany. The Germans, faced with the need to retake a city like Munich, might find the neutron bomb quite handy. It could rid the city of Russians while doing little physical damage. At any rate, as the debate is shaped up, Germany's ruling Social Democratic Coalition is opposed to the neutron bomb on the grounds that it would make nuclear war more thinkable and therefore more likely. The opposition Christian Democrats, on the other hand, consider it a valuable weapon and favor its deployment. Beyond the neutron bomb, nuclear weapons of all kinds have been a highly controversial and emotional issue in West Germany since the early 1950s. Bonn has formally, and by treaty, forsworn their use, and German military forces are not equipped with them. But it is public knowledge that nuclear weapons are widely deployed among U.S. Army and Air Force units inside West Germany. Furthermore, most West German weapons systems are designed with the capability of acting as carriers for nuclear warheads, which are now kept under lock and key by the United States, and it's NATO's strategy to make nuclear weapons available to West German forces in case of war. Now, as an American, ask yourself this question. Would the defense of Frankfurt or Hamburg be worth a nuclear war which could destroy your hometown? Many Germans doubt that under the pressure of the moment, you would answer yes. In the future, if the West Germans grow even more leery that the U.S. would risk nuclear war to defend German soil, what will they do? Today, we are witnessing developments that this program has been forecasting for more than 30 years. More than 20 years, I have been on radio, 22 years now, saying that, and on television as well. Since World War II, we have continually said, Germany will rise again, first economically and eventually militarily. Well, the German economy has long since been resurrected, and we were saying it would be in the late 1940s. And the fact is that if America wavers in its commitment to her defense, Germany may soon have to become a major military power in order to defend itself from a Soviet invasion. And once having been fully rearmed, albeit out of the ostensible best intentions, would we ever find ourselves then in a time when those lingering fears might once again be justified? Rearming West Germany has been characterized by some as dealing with a potential Frankenstein. Today, as never before, you need your name on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine, the one magazine that from month to month keeps its readers informed on the fulfillment of these rapidly moving world events in the light of biblical prophecy, including the question, just where is Germany headed?
For the free literature offered on this program, write Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. In Canada, Box 44, Vancouver, BC. Or in the continental United States, you may call this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. In California, dial direct, 213-577-5225. All literature is free upon request.